want to help us to focus in on why Jesus died for us. And if I could sum up in one sentence what I believe the Lord wants us to do this morning, it's simply this: to look to the Lamb who was slain. To look to the Lamb who was slain. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, we have these words from John the Baptist. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." The European referendum is only 4 days away now. Big issues at stake. But it's not my job this morning to speak to you about the European referendum. My job this morning is to say, look to the Lamb. In the European referendum, we have the issue of sovereignty. Where will power reside now and in the future? Will it be Westminster? Will it be Brussels? Will it be Holyrood? And all the campaigning stopped this week because of a senseless act of violence and evil. And the nation is shocked. There's no more campaigning, at least perhaps until tomorrow. Someone who campaigned for the poor, for the marginalized, for the refugee, now extinguished. Everybody confused. Confused during the referendum, confused by this event that's happened. So what does the Bible have to say about the problem of sovereignty, of who's in control? What does the Bible have to say about the problem of evil and suffering? Can we find any hope this morning as we go looking for answers? Can anyone solve the mystery of life? In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, it speaks about these big questions as written on a scroll, and no one is qualified to open the scroll and to give us the answer. The answer of who is in control in a world full of suffering. The answer of how the issue of evil will be overcome. But then the prophet looks to a Lamb who is seated on a throne. And he alone is worthy to explain such things. He alone is able to give us confidence about the future. John writes, "Then I saw a Lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne." Not a helpless, vulnerable figure, but a powerful figure, but one with scars in his side and on his palms. Some say the answer is to take back control. The Bible says the problem came when Adam and Eve took control and did not trust. They went their own way. They followed their own way, the way of independence. The Bible calls it sin, the letter I in the middle, summing it up. Independent streak, inability to trust in God. And John the Baptist says this, he yells out, look, look, God's Passover lamb. He forgives the sins of the world. This is the man I've been talking about, the one who comes after me. He's so far ahead of me, but he's also before me. You see, the Bible says that before the creation of the world, God provided a sacrifice. Before the world was made, God knew that we would seek to take control from him and do things our way. So this morning, will we listen to what John's saying? He's saying, I'm not here to answer all the questions. I'm just here to answer the most important question. Are you ready to meet with Jesus? For we'll all meet with him one day. The way we get ready to meet with him is to confess our sins and to repent, to turn back to God, to give him the control of our lives and to trust in him. He prepares us to meet with God, and John also points to the Lamb of God. He says, this one is the one that you trust. This one is the one in whom you can be forgiven. He tells us to look at Christ with the eye of faith and be saved. So this morning, will you accept Jesus of Nazareth to be for you the Lamb of God who takes away your sins, who takes your sins and throws them as far as the east is from the west, into the deepest part of the ocean, never to be remembered, never to be held against you, because Christ did that for you on the cross. Will you accept him as your lamb, as your sacrifice? And all of us, will we fix our eyes on him? Will we trust him with the whole of our lives? Will we realize that he is not just the lamb who was slain, but he's the lamb who is on the throne? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the throne of God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and power forever and ever. What has he done for us? Let us remember what he has done for us as we come before him in gratitude to take this meal. The same last book of the Bible, which mentions Jesus 28 times as the Lamb of God. Isn't that amazing? What John the Baptist said, the last book in the Bible, 28 times describes Jesus as the Lamb of God and encourages us to be grateful. encourages us to worship him as the Lamb upon the throne. It says, to him be glory and power forever, above all other thrones, above all other gods, above all other priorities. To him be glory and power forever. Why? Because he's the one who loves us. He's the one who has freed us from our sins by his blood. He's the one who has remade us to serve him. He loves us not because we loved him first, but because he is love himself. This is love. God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Come to this table, trusting in him, and do not doubt that he loves you. Look to the Lamb and receive the truth. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. He frees us. Do you want to be free this morning? His blood is powerful to set you free. To serve him not in fear, but in righteousness and holiness all of your days. He comes to set you free. He comes to set you free from misplaced dependencies. It was not with perishable things like silver and gold that he redeemed us. He redeemed us from that empty way of life, not by perishable things, but with the precious blood of Christ. The only thing that could set us free, the only thing that could open up the gates of heaven and usher us into the Father's presence. His precious blood, his precious offering. He is the Lamb without blemish. He knew no sin. He never sinned even once. And yet he became on that cross sin for us. He took my sins. He took your sins to set us free. Not just, although it's a very marvelous truth, not only to take us to be with God when we die, but to remake us that we would live for God before we die. He makes us into people who can serve him well, who can bring his light to all people. He remakes us by the blood of the Lamb into people who say that the most important thing in my life is to say, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Is that your vision for your life? To point to the Savior and say, behold, look, he is the one who takes away all of your sins. Who can take part in this meal? All are welcome this morning. But those who know the Lord as Savior, who've put their trust in him and have received his forgiveness and eternal life, they are to take part in this meal. If you're not at that stage yet, God still loves you. God is longing like that father. He's waiting for you to come to him and trust. But just pass on the bread, pass on the wine with no embarrassment, and soak in the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Before we partake of this meal, I'd like to welcome into membership. I'm not 100% sure if both of the ladies are here today, but I can see Janet's here, Janet Logue, and also Lizzie. Is Lizzie here? Wonderful. Would you like to come forward, or would you like me to come to you? Come on forward, that's easier.